Welcome back, everybody. This is Oscar Talk with yours truly, Chris Tapley of InContention.com and Ann Thompson of Thompson on Hollywood. This is the penultimate podcast of the season. We'll be back on Monday to do our postmortem of the show, but for now, it's the Friday before the Oscars, which means it's time to predict. So, we thought we would take today and go through all of the categories and throw out what we're thinking. And I think at the very top, first of all, how you doing, Anne?
I'm good.
I'm just forging ahead without even acknowledging you exist.
I'm here. I'm listening. but I have to say that this has been one of the more difficult years to pick. It's like I'm quite confident through, you know, quite a few of the categories, and I'm sure you and I are going to, you know, differ on that too, but I'm confident in many of the categories, but there are quite a few categories that I am not at all confident in, and that's going to make the difference when we see how everybody did at the end of the day. And that's, you know, I want to hold up my rep, you know, I want to do a good job, I want to represent my, you know, give everybody a good lead on their Oscar ballots, but it's not an easy year. I'm just warning you. Even the professionals are having a hard time.
Yeah, I'm fully prepared to suck the big one this year, but we shall see. I think at the top, we all agree with the best actor category and who's going to win there.
That's the easiest one of all.
That's the easiest
call. Colin Firth, and nobody will go wrong there.
Right. Best animated feature is probably the next easiest call.
Toy Story 3, no problem.
We both agree there. I think the screenplays are pretty easy calls this year.
They're easy, too. Sidler will win and Sorkin will win.
For King's Speech and The Social Network and original and adapted. And, you know, I feel like Best Visual Effects is probably a gimme for Inception this year. It's not as much of a lock as some other films in the past in this category have been recently, but...
it would be a shocker if it went any other way.
Right. All right, so that's kind of the first tier. I think we all feel the same on those. It's interesting, the supporting actor race has had a little bit of bubbling going on lately. I think we both agree that Christian Bale is going to win it.
It's still Christian Bale. Even if he lost a few votes in the last couple of weeks or so with a sort of diminishing of interest in the fighter, right. I don't think that's going to change.
On top of just the idea that Jeffrey Rush has been around all year long.
And he's coming up because the King's Speech is so strong. And if he were to lose it to someone, it would be Jeffrey Rush.
Right,
but
right.
I honestly don't think that will happen.
Now, how do you feel in the sound categories?
I'm all over Inception.
Yeah, me too. I've got True Grit as a backup on both. True Grit won with the Cinema Audio Society. Inception had a great showing with the Motion Picture Sound Editors. But those are just, you know, the specialties voting when it comes to the Academy at large. They're going to go for the respected blockbuster, and this is the respected blockbuster this year.
As it should be.
Now, how about Best Actress?
I'm really torn because all the signs are pointing at Natalie Portman, and I was just looking at the IndieWire, who will win and who should win on both the Oscars and the Indie Spirits. And but you have to look at who they are, the people voting in the IndieWire poll. They are mostly younger men. Okay, let's just call it. I think there are like two women in there, including me. And so I was sort of horrified at how badly The Kids Are All Right was doing versus Black Swan in both of those polls. And I have to come up and say that Annette Bening is representing the older crowd of the Academy, and the younger crowd could go for Natalie Portman or... you know, put some votes into Michelle Williams or put some votes, you know, somewhere else. So it's really going to be the older contingent that votes for Annette Bening. And I'm going to stick to my guns and give this one to her on that basis. And remembering that even if the actors like Black Swan a lot enough to give Natalie Portman the nomination, even if she's probably going to win, I'm sticking to Annette Bening.
Well, you've got that caveat out of the way.
I see that that's the favorite.
Sure.
I mean, I'd be an idiot if I didn't think that that was so.
Sure.
It's just that I'm banking that Black Swan didn't play that well to every
single
member.
You're also talking to people who voted for Annette Bening, I imagine, too, right?
A lot.
And this brings us to a reader question I'd like to throw out there from Andrea, who says, when Anne says she talks to Academy voters, how big a range are we talking about? Dozens, hundreds, how much support can she possibly be detecting for Bening to protect her when everything right now points to Portman? Now, you've kind of made your case on that, but regarding the amount of people you talk to.
Wow. I mean, I get out and around, and I go to various parties and events and talk to folks on the phone. As I was saying to you last week after we hung up on the recording, a lot of my hunches and intuition and insight come from my sense of, like, if I went to the Editors Guild Awards the other night, I got to know who those editors are. And if I went to the art directors over the years, or the Cinematography Guild, or the Writers Guild and the Directors Guild, you know, you just get to sense who these people are. And among my own acquaintance, over the holidays, I went to Christmas parties, and everybody talked about what they were voting for and what they liked and what they were seeing. I just do it. I just ask people all the time. It's just what I do without even thinking. So obviously the Academy members who happen to be my friends have a lot of influence on me, but it isn't just them.
And you also have a similar disposition to Academy members here and there too, just as far as what you like.
Well, I happen to be in the boomer spot, right, which is sort of dominating the Academy right now. And even though I'm not, I would argue that I tend toward representing critics probably more than I represent Academy members in my own taste, because Academy members range far and wide. And we've talked about this before. The craft guilds are going to have, you know, different sensibility than the executive branch or the publicist's branch and so forth. So you and I are on the phone with more publicists on a day-to-day basis than most other branches of the Academy. But
And when it comes to the other branches, I think we kind of run in different circles anyway.
Well, I would guess that you would probably agree with a lot of the folks voting in the IndieWire poll on the younger male side of the equation. So there is a generational divide. I do represent the Academy closer probably than you do, but that doesn't mean that all of your steady and passion for all things Oscar hasn't lent you a lot of insight. I trust your judgment quite a bit.
Oh, sure. I didn't mean to suggest, by the way, that you have mediocre taste, given that the Academy can have mediocre taste, by the way. That was just based on our conversation at the end of the podcast last week.
That was we were sorry we didn't record that, because it was actually sort of, we got down to brass tacks a little bit.
Well, as far as Best Actress goes, I think I'm sticking with Natalie.
You're right. I'm sure you're right.
I think she lost a lot of steam. I do want to be clear. I think it's very close, and she lost a lot of steam. And she didn't give the best speeches during the circuit, I think.
She did not. She's chilly. This girl is chilly, even with her maternal glow.
I think she's awesome and cool, but that's me. You know, I think, but yeah, she can put out a chilly kind of, I guess, demeanor.
If you look at the I was on IMDb today, and you know, it's Natalie all over the place, you know, the star meter and the this and the that, you know. I mean, her star is clearly on the rise in terms of every usual media measure. You know, Natalie Portman's moment is as much today as it was Sandra Bullock's last year. So I'm extremely foolish to be sticking with Annette Bening, and it's only on the basis of my read of the Academy and Black Swan. That's all I can do is go with that.
Do you think that overall that Black Swan is not as popular as The Kids Are All Right?
I suspect that Black Swan is more popular than The Kids Are All Right.
I mean, it only has one more nomination than Kids Are All Right, after all.
Well, they're both in the middle somewhere. Yeah. You know.
All right, well, you say Benning. You and Pete Hammond say Benning, I think. That's...
Well, Pete, I actually checked in with Pete today because I was, like, panicking. I'm serious. This is serious stuff, you know?
At some point, you just got to put your pencil down and walk away.
I know. I mean, I've been waffling. I mean, Poland. I've been driving David Poland crazy with all my changes.
He's doing it. You know, I appreciate what Dave does with Gurus of Gold, but it's so silly to me to ask us for our opinion a week before the Oscars. And then, you know, he wants us, if we're going to change things, to...
Only do one or two.
Only do like a couple of things and only do like, you know, look.
No, he wants us to say that if we had a number one and a, he's assuming that if we had, all right, I'm going to confess something to everyone right now.
Okay.
As of today, I have now seen all of the documentary short subjects.
Okay.
So the thing I was voting for
you were
before,
trying, you were waffling on
I was
that.
Guessing basically,
okay. Right.
Or using whatever info or intel I had to judge. Sometimes using that is more effective. If you actually sort of go, which is the most heart-tuggingly manipulative one, you know, with an environmental global message, which mm-hmm. they all have basically,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you can pick it. And it's so funny now that I've seen the five of them, I'm sticking with the one I picked.
Right?
The
yeah.
Warriors of Qui Gong or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment, but.
But I've now seen everything, and now, you know, that was part of it. I wanted to change the shorts with David Poland.
Well, for me, it's like I'm not really settled on anything. Everything until Friday. He's a business guy. He wants his whole business week of all the pundits' predictions on his website. I get that he wants to get it done a week in advance. But come on,
I appreciate the fact that he's allowing us to change our mind. But he's going to allow us to do it, he should let us do it.
Hope you're listening, Dave.
Yeah.
He's not. All right, best cinematography.
That one I'm pretty confident that it's Deakins for True Grit.
Yeah.
On the theory that True Grit has to win something.
Just on the logic of the category, to me, you look at the category, it's the obvious cinematography winner. It's what they vote for. We've talked about this.
I agree. We talked about this last week. And I would also, I posted on my blog, because it's my favorite thing that you do every year, your screenshots from the most beautifully framed stills from movies of last year, cinematography. And I recommend that everybody who listens to this go look at that on his blog or mine.
What do you think of the shots?
Beautiful. Lovely. You do good.
Thank you. Best picture.
King's Speech. But I will say this. I am not going to tell anyone that Social Network is going to win, but I will say that it's possible that it could win.
That's why it's a little bit further down this list and wasn't at the very top. Just FYI. Because I agree with you. It's not 100% in the King's Speech's
no,
grasp.
It's not. Not at all. It's really a close race between those
and
two.
And by the way, that is the point we've maintained all season.
We've been very clear. And I want to say this, that anecdotally, there are people who do share the point of view that King's Speech is overrated and square mm-hmm. and fussy mm-hmm. and you know, represents some kind of square, soft blob. You know, I don't hold that view.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think The King's Speech is the best movie of the year. I think The Social Network is the best movie of the year. Myself.
Nominated.
Yes. Yes.
Wasn't Winter's Bone your number one movie?
Yes. But I think
of those that have a shot.
Two, okay. Of those two, I think The Social Network is the better film. And the fact that I think that makes me worry, you know, that you know, it could happen.
Well, it should make you happy that it could happen, if that's your
no,
number one
I'm
movie.
Just talking in terms of being right.
Yes, indeed. 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 Well, something that's more than likely going to win, we probably both agree on, best film editing.
That, I think, is The Social Network.
Yeah.
Last week
I said King's Speech. I'm on Social Network now.
Yeah, no, I think that has a higher degree of difficulty and perceived difficulty. And mm-hmm. and I think people really, one of the reasons why, as we go down this list, Fincher will probably win director too. I just think everybody recognizes.
Don't jump ahead. You're ruining surprises.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Best makeup.
The Wolfman, Rick Baker.
That'll be, I think, his seventh Oscar or something like that.
Is a nonpareil. I mean, that's the guy.
That's my pick, too. I think The Way Back deserves it. I think Barney's version is the spoiler. But I think The Wolfman wins. when you look at those shots of Benicio, I mean, it's just, it's the Wolfman, but it's done in a way I feel like it's fresh. It's the Wolfman updated in a sense.
But there's also an enormous contingent in the Academy that believes in the old ways,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they're rewarding here. That's what the makeup category is in this digital age, is mm-hmm. a throwback to the old, you know.
Right.
Do it by hand, do it by latex, you know.
There is something to be said
amazing
for that. Because the Wolfman is a movie that you'd expect the Wolfman to be done in CGI nowadays. You wouldn't expect Paul Giamatti to be aged via CGI. So it does, I think in a way, say, it's something to be said for the Wolfman that it's all practical applications that they're working with there. So bravo if he wins. Best original score.
I believe that André Duplat, who's been nominated many, many times, will get that one for King's Speech.
I do too. Best director, you've already blurted it out. You think David Fincher is going to win. Why?
I think that The Social Network is very highly respected, and Fincher himself, who's never won an Oscar, has been is way, way respected inside the Academy. He's been, you know, he did very well with The Curious Case of Benjamin Button too, and I just think it's his time, and it is a difficult, challenging movie. I mean, it is really not an easy movie to have pulled off as well as he did.
Suddenly I envision Justin Timberlake and Ruby Skye saying, "This is our time." Well,
but that's, you know, there are scenes like that that people who know how movies are made recognize as extraordinarily well achieved.
I think David Fincher will win an Oscar one day. I don't think he's going to win it this year. I think it's going to be Tom Hooper.
Are you saying that on the basis of the kinds of statistical analyses that Ms. Sasha Stone is so fond of? Because
it's on the basis of what I think.
It's very unusual for picture and director to split like this.
It is unusual, and it is a fair point that to predict a split is, you know, it's kind of just luck if you get it correct. And splits tend to happen in closer years. This year, I don't think it's as close as the years when it has split.
Right, the Traffic Gladiator year is often brought up.
Yeah, that was clearly a very close year. Three-way, really, with Crouching Tiger.
Well, they expected that if Soderbergh won director, that Gladiator would not win Best Picture, but it
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
I just think Tom Hooper will just go hand in hand with his film this year. But I think it's a squeaker. I mean, I think that's a very close race.
I'm going to hazard that among all the people in the Academy voting for director, that Fincher is more known and respected than Hooper. That Hooper
I'm sure
is something
he is.
Of an outsider in this category.
There's no doubt about that. But again, I think it's just hand in hand with the film. I don't think the name really is the issue here. And, you know, frankly, as much as Fincher has worked with, you know, plenty of people in this business going way back to his music video days, he's not a teddy bear.
No, neither of them is in this case.
Well, Hooper knows how to play the game more.
And he's been working it, but he's not a cuddly guy either.
He can be.
He can turn on the charm.
Right.
So can Fincher. When he wants to.
Sure,
but
sure.
It doesn't happen very often.
Now, how about the most talked about Oscar category of the week? Best art direction.
Now, that one is so clearly Inception to me.
I think it's The King's Speech.
It's not that visually dramatic a film. Are you talking about the fact that it was shot in the porno studio,
that was
one of the great irrelevant stories I've ever heard in my life.
That was why I said that, yes. But
yeah.
It's interesting to me to note that it's been a long time since a Best Picture winner was nominated for Best Art Direction. It goes back to Lord of the Rings. And, you know, you diss stats all you want, but what it says to me is that if there's a period piece that they think love enough to give Best Picture, then they're going to love it enough to be lazy enough to vote it for Best Art Direction.
The thing about The King's Speech is that it's a small-scale, low-budget movie with a lot of people talking in rooms. It's basically about Geoffrey Rush and Colin Firth
Well,
shouting
what
at
do you
each
think the
other.
English Patient was?
There was huge vistas in Africa with sand and caves and plains and fans overhead,
I'm
and
waiting on you to talk about the art direction.
it was there. Did it win Art Direction?
Yes.
That is interesting. Because it really didn't have much to do with it, in my humble opinion. But in this particular case, I just think that Inception, with each and every one of its extraordinary levels of, it just had to be those cliffside architectural levels of Inception, the dreams, all the different, this from the snow to the
You're saying it deserves to win.
It does.
I agree.
It's spectacular.
I agree. It's about architecture.
I just
The
don't see
first
the
thing we ever heard
Academy
about
going.
Inception was that it is a film about the arch that takes place within the architecture of the mind. That was the first thing
And
we ever heard about the film.
is an homage to the history of architecture and has
Indeed.
to make each of one of those levels make sense visually in order for you to understand
Indeed.
what the hell is going on. I just don't see how it couldn't be
I don't
Inception.
think anyone thinks about it on those terms, though.
They do. They look at
No, I
what they
think we're
think
thinking
should win.
about it. We're thinking about it's not even worth arguing. We're predicting what we're predicting. But I don't think they look at that and think art direction. I think they look at that and think, oh, I'm voting for it in visual effects. That's where I've got it chalked up.
I don't think they look at it that way. I think they look at each category and say, which one of these
No, that's
films
what the point I'm making. I think that
is the most extraordinary?
what is attributable to art direction, I think they are considering visual effects
I
by and
see what you're
large.
saying. Okay, I see what you're saying. It's possible. I'm giving Inception this one as well.
I hope you're right. I absolutely hope you're right. Now, how about best costume design?
Not when I'm going with Alice in Wonderland.
Now, you don't think King's Speech is going to win either of these categories? A period film.
It doesn't matter if it's a period film. It
It
matters if it's a
absolutely matters
showy.
if it's a period film nominated for Best
You
Picture
didn't let me
to
finish.
win.
The second part of that is that it has to be about the costumes. It has to have some showy costumes.
Was The English Patient about the costumes?
Yes, it
Was it
was.
really?
In it was it there were enough beautiful changes for Kristin Scott Thomas,
I just watched it again this week, and I think you're misremembering.
Anyway, I'm gonna. I think The English Patient is different. I think The English Patient. I follow your logic here. I do. If you're looking at it at the way they tend to vote over time, the Academy does follow a strong Best Picture contender in the way that you're suggesting. I've been arguing all along that the strongest voting block for The King's Speech are the actors. And that it is, as an actor's vehicle, a small scale actor's vehicle, that movie is doing as well as it is. It is not a huge spectacle of period. It is, and it doesn't. The only person who has an outfit of any notice, who makes changes, is Helena Bonham Carter. It isn't, the men. It doesn't matter. This isn't like the royal court, or big ballroom scenes,
I
or
agree, but I
people
don't think it has to
on the
be that. I don't think
battlefield
it
or
has to be
something.
that. I don't think
That's
it
but
has to be that.
it the Alice in Wonderland is a huge designed enormous scale of creativity and beauty and visual panache. There's no comparison.
It's so funny to me. We argue about it in two different ways, and it kind of drives me nuts because you're speaking in arguables. I agree with everything you're saying,
Why
but
wouldn't that be the way the Academy voter would look at it?
because it never is. They never do what's right. They do what they feel.
I would argue, as I did last week, that in the costume category, over time, there have been many one-offs, from Elizabeth to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, that you wouldn't have expected, but they did it because it was the showiest group of costumes. And these were films that had no other nominations in any other category.
Well, this is obviously low on my list as far as what we're doing here. I think it's a tight category. I absolutely think Alice in Wonderland would win, could win. It would be the third fantasy film to ever win this category. They tend to go to hard and fast period dramas.
I guess this is a case where I am giving Tim Burton a little bit of credit here, as an artist who the Academy really respects. So it's almost as if they're voting for Tim Burton.
He deserves it. No film of his that has ever been nominated for costume design has won, meaning that Colleen Atwood's two Oscars have not been for Tim Burton films. I actually think that that film has a better shot at best art direction. Interesting to note that no film that he's done that was nominated for art direction has lost that award. Going all the way back to Batman, which is probably one of my favorite Oscar wins of all time, winning best art direction. But
So I'm gonna use the Tim Burton factor as one aspect of this. So we'll see. We'll see.
we will
I mean,
see.
usually your logic is that usually the best picture, assuming that King's Speech is the best picture winner, that film will trump other films in a technical category most of the time, but it doesn't always happen that way.
It doesn't always happen that way. And when it doesn't happen that way, it's usually when it's something modern, like Million Dollar Baby or No Country for Old Men or The Departed. Those are the films that won four Oscars. I think King's Speech is a seven Oscar kind of movie.
I think the competition is fiercer than that in this particular year, but go
Okay.
ahead.
How about Best Original Song?
I'm going to go with Randy Newman and Toy Story 3.
Me too. But I think that the 127 Hours song is picking up steam.
I have been hearing that too, actually. I've heard other people say they voted for that, to
Yeah.
tell you the truth. So
Yeah.
we could be, that could be one that I should think about changing.
I'm going to stick with Newman just because it's the one you remember, you know? I mean,
I
everyone
know.
knows that song. It comes
Yeah.
it, and it closes out a trilogy and
And there's a lot of emotion attached to it.
I think he deserves an Oscar for what he's done on these films too,
Me too.
to be perfectly honest.
I
So,
agree.
best foreign language film. We talked about the foreign films last week.
I've been torturing myself about it because I'm pretty convinced that it's a three-way race and that there will be votes for all three. I'm sticking to my guns on In a Better World.
Yeah, I am too. I am this is actually a very tight race from what I hear. And I think it's actually between that and Beautiful. I think Austin Deays is bringing up the rear, though still getting votes as far as these three go. Actually was just talking to Steve Pond earlier today, who's been pretty diligent about following the screenings in New York and LA for these movies, and he's his favorite movie of the year is Beautiful, mind you, but he seems to think that that has a slight edge. That it's the only one that always seems to get some kind of reaction, positive reaction. But, you know, I don't know. I just to me, In a Better World is more accessible, really powerful. Obviously, Beautiful is too, but I just think In a Better World is.
I'm with you.
I don't know.
I'm with you on that
What
one.
am I trying to say? I'm trying not to disrespect Inarritu because I really do respect what he was doing with this movie. I don't
I
think it
love
fully worked. I
Beautiful.
don't think
I
it fully
love
worked,
Beautiful.
but
I agree with you. It doesn't completely work. He went a little too far over the edge of the Job-like, travails that this guy had to contend with. But I think Javier Bardem is being rewarded with a nomination, and that's a huge honor.
He deserves to win that Oscar too, if you ask
I
me.
would be thrilled. I'd be thrilled if he did. But I just don't. People seem to be divided on that film in a way that they aren't. Most people seem to really admire In a Better World, whereas Encendies, as you and I revealed last week, has a split
Right.
reaction.
Right. Did you see what Guy thought of that one?
No.
Oh, he hated it.
Oh yeah.
He hated it.
Now I went with Encendies. I was quite moved by it. And I'm going to talk to Denis Villeneuve tomorrow. I'm very
Okay.
curious to talk to him. But I wouldn't be shocked if Encendies won because it has a
I
great
wouldn't
deal of
either.
power.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. It's
This is a
between those three
very
movies.
close. See, if we were voting for the whole Academy and who they would vote for, it would be an entirely different question. But this is a smaller subset.
Yes, and you have to see all the movies to vote and
Right.
all of that. All right, so how about the toughest category to predict of the major categories? Best supporting actress.
It is a complete. If anyone is confident that they know the answer about who's going to win in this category, you look at them and say, "Forget it," because nothing is for sure here. Nobody knows.
Is find a three-sided coin and flip it.
It's, you know, I mean, I'm going to stick to my Helena Bonham Carter theory because I have no real belief in anybody in this category. I think Melissa Leo, I know
That's a
from
fair
talking to
reason.
people that Melissa Leo didn't. So why not go with King's Speech? You know, why not go with the one thing I do know is winning, you know?
I was with you for like 2 days this week. In fact, I switched my prediction and everything. Tom changed it. Sasha changed it. They changed it at Gold Dirt, at Grooves of Gold. Everybody changed it for me.
You went back?
And you know what? No, I'm not back on Haley because Haley, she's a kid. She has not been able to work it like Helena has been
I
able to
have
do.
spoken to Academy members who have voted for Haley. I
Sure,
have.
I have too. But I just as far as the overall exposure is concerned, she hasn't been able to work it due to just the realities of being a kid in the film business.
But a lot of people have been negatively impacted. There's no question that Melissa Leo alienated people.
I do think that that broke out more than some might want to think, but my ultimate prediction is going to be her. I don't
Because it's the
think
showiest
it's the
performance.
showiest performance. I don't think it derailed the train enough, what she did.
We don't know is the answer to that question. We just don't know.
And we never will.
So your vote is as good as mine. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. I
You know,
mean,
there's no logic that can help us here, really.
she's my pick. The
Okay.
only thing that would drive me up a wall is if Haley wins now, because from the day I saw True Grit, I was like, she's got to win.
I was with Haley. I had a whole Haley theory, which was the True Grit theory, which is that people love True Grit and they wanted it to win something. And that could be a factor too. In other words, I'm sure that all my theories and all your theories are at play here,
Yes.
but who knows?
Yeah. Well, the only tangible to go on thing to go on is what Melissa Leo has racked up in the award season with the Globe and the
That's true.
SAG. But then her speeches were so damn daffy that who knows what that did to
I
people.
know, and her stupid ad advertising, which is why Helena Bonham Carter comes out sort of classy, clean, you know, long
Yeah.
career, married, you know, hanging out with Tim Burton, you know, doing good work. You know, why not the King's Speech Queen Mum?
Yeah.
And she's been charming. Absolutely
All
charming.
points valid.
So who knows?
How about best documentary feature?
That's a tough one too, because it's a small group again, and I've now seen all five of the films. They're all really good.
Let's talk about it. We were going to do that this week. So let's talk about the category in depth for a minute. What's your favorite?
Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yeah? Was an
Yeah.
Inside Job on your top 10?
Yeah. I hadn't seen it, I think, at the time. I saw Exit to the Gift Shop fairly late in the
Okay.
day. I
What'd you think of Gasland?
It's possible. You know what you're revealing, though, is that I saw Inside Job, and this is not an insignificant thing. I saw,
Earlier.
yeah, I
Yeah.
saw it in Cannes, and
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the best documentaries I had ever seen. I just was so high on it, so angry, everything. And now
Exit feels
we've
fresh.
all seen all these movies about the economy and Wall Street, and we've been studying it. Now we're tired of it. We're over it. We don't want to think about it anymore. And this is not fair to the movie because it's a brilliant movie,
Right.
and I think it's probably really likely that it will win because it will be the one that the but if that's again, if it were the overall Academy, if it was the whole Academy, I would say Inside Job. But because it's this small group, and some of them have just seen Wasteland, and some of them have just seen Gasland, and some of them have just seen Restrepo, and so forth, even though Restrepo goes all the way back to Sundance,
Yeah.
I'm Banksy has done a great job of keeping himself in the limelight lately, in his own inimitable way, and I just feel a great deal of sympathy. Leaning in his direction, and it's the most idiosyncratic, organic, unexpected movie. You know, it is so well done. I just don't. And but on the other hand, according to my anecdotal research on people who have gone to the screenings, Wasteland played really well, and
It
I
does. It plays
loved
well to
Wasteland.
documentarians. Yeah,
Yeah.
it won the IDA.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It's the most uplifting and crowd pleasing of the bunch.
Extraordinary character. That the artist who goes down to Brazil, mm-hmm. and tries to give back, and the way that the filmmaker is able to sort of, you know, document the whole process of creating art and helping to reveal these people. It was heartbreaking.
And what did you think of Gasland, which was one that you were trying to get around to?
Yeah, no, it was very good, Gasland. Very personal, very upsetting, mm-hmm. very anger-provoking. Very similar to the Warriors of Qingong.
How do you say that?
90s, I think it's Qingong.
Okay.
Because I wrote, wait a minute, Qingang. Warriors of Qingang.
Okay.
All right, so the you know, that what do you think?
For this category, I think I'm going to go with Inside Job. For a long time, I thought Exit Through the Gift Shop, but now that we're talking about it, and that is a good point about things feeling fresh now, like Wasteland and Exit Through the Gift Shop. And
the other question that I don't know the answer to is, how do the voters respond, if at all, to the filmmakers themselves? Because they're not voting for Best Director. I mean, they're not saying that they're voting for Charles Ferguson or for Lucy Walker, who, by the way, is a charming, mm-hmm. beautiful woman. You know, are they voting for people who are inside their universe, who are also filmmakers in the documentary community? How much does that matter? Mm-hmm. You know, these are questions that I don't really know. The other theory I have is that the two art films could cancel each other out, Wasteland, right. and Exit Through the Gift Shop, and leaving Inside Job in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody was telling me they didn't think Charles Ferguson was a popular figure in this group. He is an outsider too, even though he's made another documentary. But he came into filmmaking from outside the community.
He's an academic, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I talked.
That would lead Lucy Walker in the lead, in my view.
Yeah, we're confusing it, and it's this category this year. I mean, they're all great nominees from a great set of shortlisters. I talked to AJ Schnack, who was at the Academy documentary reception last night, and you know, he said, look, at the end of the night, you know, usually we can get a gauge on what had support. It was like five-way race when he left there. You know, it's just you can't know on this one. And my fingers are so crossed for Banksy, because it would be great.
I know. I think that's coloring us, though. That's because, of course, we want him to get in there. But
like I said, my fingers are crossed. But I'm picking Inside Job.
I'm picking, yeah. But you know, as I was trying to talk myself out of Exit Through the Gift Shop today, I had this sort of moment of thinking, you know, gosh, that was probably the fifth candidate in the race, but it's been winning things. Like, it won the Editors Guild. That sort of surprised me.
Why did that surprise you? Because you thought Inside Job was going to win that, right?
I did.
That's like a talking head documentary, whereas Exit True. Has a lot of footage to edit together, and they tend to award movies like that, you know?
Good point.
But Exit really is the most awarded documentary of the year.
But Inside Job is a very complex. I think that's oversimplifying it. I mean, there's an extraordinary amount of information that has to be imparted in an intelligent and clear way.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to slight it. I'm just saying that the difference in the tasks is one is a little more obvious than the other.
Perhaps.
But I'll say supporting actress and documentary feature. These are the two categories that I could end up switching on Saturday. So just so everyone knows,
I feel the same way. I could panic on Annette Bening, but I'm not going to.
Well, let's do the shorts. Documentary short subject. You just saw all of those today.
Yeah. There are two films that really stood out for me. The Israeli Refugee School, which mm-hmm. just breaks
Strangers
your heart.
No More.
Yep. And Warriors of Qingang. And the reason I decided to vote to keep my vote for Warriors of Qingang is that it's not only just outrageous, you know, sort of Aaron Brockovich level, you know, behavior, civil action behavior, you know, on the part of the Chinese in terms of, mm-hmm. you know, poisoning these poor villagers. But it's about an uprising. It's about a mm-hmm. democratic uprising. And it just happens to hit the zeitgeist right where we live right now.
Well, the way I hear it out of the reception last night is between those two movies. And it's funny because the first one I picked without seeing any of them was Strangers No More.
That's funny.
And I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go back to that. I'd switched to Poster Girl because to me it's far and away the best.
That's a good movie, and I was upset by it. It really, it hit me hard, too. The Killing in the Name, which is a Muslim terrorist movie.
Yeah, that felt like a PBS
Islands,
thing.
The Sun Came Up about the Islands. You know, those two put me out.
I liked Sun Came Up quite a bit, actually. That one was a bit galvanizing for me, but... And would be that one and Poster Girl are my two favorites, actually. But Killing in the Name was a bit, yeah, it felt like a Dateline episode or something. Didn't feel very similar.
These are all worthy. You know, they're all worthy. They're all like 40 minutes long. They're real movies. But I would say my favorite was the one you're voting for then, which Strangers No More was just a great movie. I think it's the best movie of the group.
It really digs into each of the students too, which I liked. Instead of just being about the place, it's about the people. And
it's also well shot. It's also of the five, it's the most beautiful in terms of the cinematography and so forth. The way that they capture the faces of these kids and their parents. Yeah.
We talked about short film, animated short film last week. You are going to stick with Lost Thing?
Yes, although, you know, evidence is pointing at Day and Night being the lead in that category, and that's the one everybody will have heard of in the Academy. So I'm probably being a little bit foolish.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think all of them but Les Palutes really has a shot at it. I'm going with Madagascar still because it's...
Don't understand that one with you, by the way, still.
Well, you know.
But whatever.
I've stated my case. I can't do it again, Anne.
And then but you know, when you do Oscar ballots, it really is the short films that sort of make or break whether you're going to win or not.
They do. I guess people doing their pools, maybe we should. Okay. So Day and Night, yes, is in the hunt. Probably one of two. You think it's between that and The Lost Thing. I think it's between that and Madagascar. Well, the common denominator here is Day and Night, so that's probably a safe pick, though a lot of people are picking The Gruffalo. It's the longest of the films.
It's boring.
Very boring. But a lot of people are picking that. If people doing pools, I would suggest Day and Night, but
yeah,
I'm going with Madagascar.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
And the short live-action films. I changed my prediction on this week.
Well, I went with the one that I liked the best, The Crush, and then I looked at everybody on Gurus of Gold, and no one voted for it except me. You know, so I was like, what's wrong with this? I mean, I think they're all being more cynical about the Academy and saying that the Academy's going to go with the one that's the most heart-tugging, which would be the one about the kid dying of cancer.
Wish 143, yeah.
Yeah.
My original thought was it would be Na Wee Wee or Na Wei Wei or whatever. Wee Wee. That would be a funny way to say it. Na Wei Wei. But because
why did you think that one?
Because it has very high production value. It feels like a small film. And that...
I would have said The Confession would be in
that. That's the other one that's like that. And Confession and God of Love are the two Student Academy winners. Those never win the Oscar, but I'm actually going to go with God of Love.
That's the one my friend voted for, which was my least favorite. I hated it.
Why?
It was goofy and dorky. I found it to be sort of
I thought it channeled
juvenile.
Woody Allen in a great kind of...
No.
And I think that guy's going to be a star.
No. Trust me. That will not
trust
happen.
Trust you why? What are you lord over these things?
No,
come on. Give the guy a break. He can get places. Come on. Come on, tell me, why did you say that? Why did you say that? I'm taking offense, actually.
I didn't think he acted well. I didn't think he was funny. I didn't think he was endearing. That's why I didn't like the movie.
Well, the character is not supposed to be endearing. Character is very selfish.
Yes, I know. But,
all right. But I'm going with that because it's... To me, it's a strange conversation to have with you, I guess, if it's your least favorite, because I've definitely never heard anyone say that. I think it's the most endearing film of the bunch, and it's the most unique of the bunch, too. So,
well, I guess I responded to The Crush because I thought it was the most
Do you think it was kind of slight, though? It's so, like, lightweight.
Well, obviously, I mean, I am questioning myself right now because obviously no one else. I mean, this is based on my own. What did I like best? This has nothing to do with whether I'm trying. I'm going on the basis that in the past, when I have gone with what I thought was the best film, that has had more likelihood of being in sync with the Academy than if I try to be second guess their taste, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So this isn't based on. I've not talked to lots of people who've seen these films. Have you?
No. I'm definitely going by, you know, voting patterns and the kinds of people who are a part of the short film branch.
So if I were being cynical about it and changing my vote, I might go back to Wish 143, which I didn't really like very much at all.
It is the one that has both comedy and drama going for it. You know?
And it's, you know, I didn't think it was the best directed or the best acted. No, actually, I thought it was very well acted. I thought that kid was great. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was manipulative. But it got me anyway, which, despite my resistance, emotionally I did respond.
It's tough to really know what they respond to with these movies. I tend to think they respond to technique more than they do narrative.
I think it's a combo. I think it depends.
Yeah. It depends on who's voting each year, too. I mean, or what mood they're in. Because last year I thought for sure The Door would win, and it was The New Tenants, which I thought was crap.
That was my favorite. I wish that, you know, I thought The New Tenants was awesome.
Why?
Because it was really well written and well acted.
I thought it was too obviously written. It felt like something I wrote to get into film school in 1999. Which whatever I did wrote got me in there, so
yeah, well, I don't honestly feel any strong sense of what's going to win that category, honestly.
All right, well, right now you're saying The Crush. You might go to one Wish 143. I'm saying God of Love. I used to say Na Wei Wei. Who knows, folks? Good luck to you on your Oscar pools, but that's what we think. Before we duck out, gosh, we've
taken up some time, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything going on, so if you want to just finish with
I was going to say is you know, tonight is Thursday night, and we're going to start this long Oscar weekend, and so the other things going on are various. There's a Woman in Film party, a roadside party. They're the people behind Winter's Bone and Beautiful. Then you have over the weekend the agency parties on Friday night, which I am dying to go to, and I hope I can get into one of them. The best Oscar party I ever went to in my life was given by Ari Emanuel at his house, big tent in the backyard. And I swear to God that I was part of a conversation, a huddle, with Martin Scorsese, Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, Steve Zaillian, Thelma Shoemaker, and I was in heaven. It was like I was as happy as I've ever been. It was really amazing. Awesome. And I met, you know, I saw Peter O'Toole there coming down the stairs, you know, the year he was nominated. And so those parties are astonishing. I mean, they're just wall to wall Hollywood royalty and great.
And that matters to you to be in a room with Hollywood royalty.
It's fun. But they tend not to be open to the press, so that's the rub. And then on Saturday is the Indie Spirits out at the beach again, and I'll be hobnobbing and taking pictures. And during the actual award ceremony, I'm going to live blog it the way that Zam Brooks did the BAFTAs. I'm going to do, you know, update, you know, every new thing that happens.
I'm going to sit at a table and get drunk and watch everybody
have
their
fun. But the reason I'm doing that is that it's not going to be actually telecast until 10 o'clock at night. And
right.
There's a gap, just the way there was with the BAFTAs, so that those of us in that room are the only ones experiencing it.
Right.
You know, so rather than just tweet it, I'm going to live blog
it. You're going to be a good journalist and get the news to everyone.
And everybody at my table will be horrified. And then.
So everybody follow Thompson on Hollywood to find out what's going to win the Indie Spirits Award. Follow Chris Tapley's Twitter feed for the drunken, slurring thoughts of a guy ready for the season to be over.
Well, the IFC party is tonight. And. There will not be an after party after at Shudders as there usually is, which leaves us with the Weinstein Co.
Party
that night. And then on Sunday I'll be on the red carpet and I'm in the front row, which is fabulous, of the bleachers. And then I will have my flip cam and I will have my camera and I will have my notebook and I'll have my computer and I will live blog. On the red carpet, and I will then go backstage to the interview room and do various posts from there.
Okay, so let's go to some reader questions, because I've got everyone brought their A game with the questions this week. I appreciate that. I always put, you know, don't bore me with your question that you've asked a million times. Give me something fresh. And I got some good stuff this week, so I'm just going to dive into a few of them. There's talk of a certain movie making for one of the worst nominees and Best Picture winners in the field. Which of the 10 Best Picture nominees, according to you, would make respectable Best Picture winners? You know what I think? Even though I don't like Winner's Bone, I honestly believe any of these 10 movies would be a respectable Best Picture winner.
Of course they would. I mean, in this case, respectable, yeah. I mean, I like The Fighter, but it isn't, like, anywhere near my favorite film of the year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I recognize the critical support for Winner's Bone, so it would... Any of these films, actually, I'd be fine with winning. I certainly don't think, as we've mentioned before, that The King's Speech will be the blight that everyone thinks it will be.
No, it's a perfectly good film. And what, actually, as Manola Dargis and Tony Scott point out in their attempt to interact with their readers, you know, they actually remind us that The King's Speech is one of the best reviewed movies of the year. I mean, let's be honest about that, please.
Indeed. And it's also it's higher, you know, more well reviewed as far as Metacritic goes, which everyone likes to go by because it's so specific, than films like Inception and True Grit. So all right, Andy Webb says, with all the changes to the ceremony's format in the past few years, are there any particular years of Oscar that you would consider the best production or your favorite Academy Awards ceremony?
Mm.
None of them spring to mind except the one that Bill Condon did.
They did a great job.
That
but
was
I
a
also
great
think,
job.
I think Laura Ziskin did a great job the year she did it.
When was that?
I don't remember which year it was, but it was a year I remember I think that she had, it was a classy year. It wasn't a year that got good ratings, but she had, Errol Morris doing the short thing, which is one of the best ones I've ever seen. She did a wonderful black and white montage that year. There was just a lot of good filmic stuff that year that I remember.
Loyal wants to know what we do on the Oscars. You've said what you're doing. I'm this year, you know, usually I have a party and I do the whole thing where we do our predictions and whoever wins a big swag bag of all my swag. But I actually gave away all my swag this year and giveaways on the site. I honestly think I'm going to watch the Oscars by myself at my house in my living room.
Well, I would say to you that that is a testament, perhaps, to how hard you've been working for quite a long time. And I will argue that I, too, when presented with the opportunity to go sing karaoke last night with AJ Schnack and a bunch of other really cool people, I did not go. No.
Oh, you didn't go.
I did not go. And the reason I did not go is that I'm too tired.
Yeah.
I'm just too tired.
We've been getting increasingly craggy on these two, I think. Or I have, anyway. I'll say I have.
No, you've been great. But I'm going to do a bit of a spa thing next week for a few days.
Nice. Will says, this may be a little too inside baseball. Of course not. That's all we do here. But it seems like this year's race has gotten particularly noisy and angry in the blogosphere. Do you think, this was interesting, do you think the awards blogosphere can take a step back going forward, or has this year's race put it in a new direction from which we can never return? I think everyone's going to chill the fuck out over the summer, and then when everybody gets back to this gig next year, it'll be a new day.
I I'm curious to see what happens to it because I think there's too many people in this space, and I'll be curious to see if there's some fallout between now and next year. I have a feeling that that some people did better than others economically in this world, and I'm not talking mom and pops versus big institutions. I just know that the space cannot contain this many players forever.
Just because of the reality of awards budgets and how much money there is to go around.
Correct.
Yeah. But what
So
about the overall just
the tone of
disposition, the
it,
tone? Yeah.
well, I think there's a lot of tweeting that just flies off into the ether. I'm not sure. I think everybody has their followers and their fans, and some people follow it more closely than others. Some people care. I mean, most of my friends right now are like sick and tired of it,
Yes.
and I have to tell you that I'm relieved that I get to do other things even when I am covering the award season, but I am really relieved now that I have the freedom to pursue other things.
Well, Godspeed to you. We will reconvene on Monday
A post-mortem, indeed.
to cry about all the categories we got wrong.
Well, analyze what we think actually happened.
And we'll do that too, but I'm gonna cry a lot. I know that much. And then the award season is gonna be over, and hopefully we learn something from it.
So until Monday, Chris.
Until Monday, I will talk to you then. Enjoy all of your busyness. I'll see you Saturday night at the Indie Spirits. But if I don't, enjoy the Oscars again. Everybody, follow her live blogging. And until then, the balcony is closed, as they say. Bye bye.
Good night. Bye.